Eco-builder and now TV presenter Harrison Gardner, good afternoon to you and Claire.
Good afternoon, Brendan.
Listen, do you have a baby due today?
I do, yeah.
Okay, fair play. I feel bad now because I was mourning that you wouldn't come up to the studio. I said, these people, why won't they come in? But in fairness, you have a reasonable excuse, I would think.
Exactly. I'm on call. The TV and the book writing are all hobbies compared to trying to be a dad and a husband, especially when there's a baby due today.
Yeah. Okay. So look, we'll get on with it. And if you need to go, you just say, okay?
Thanks, Brendan.
So listen, you have been busy. As you say, you were a new author when you came in here in April. And since then, you had your TV debut, Build Your Own Home, has just finished airing on RT. And of course, you've been teaching people building skills in your building school in Enniskillen as well. Listen, the TV show was fascinating. Kind of amateur property porn, if you will. Like, you helped people more or less build their own houses, but literally build their own houses with their own hands.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, that's the point. That's the reality for a lot of people. And that's the achievable goal for a lot of people. I think we really set out to create a show that would inspire people, not in a completely aspirational house of their dreams way, but in a, how do I actually get some sense of security and a roof over my head? And I think the show did a pretty good job of that. It showed all the hard parts of building your own home, as well as the beautiful feeling at the end once you've climbed that mountain.
Yeah. The one thing that struck me was you're so nice and polite through it all. Like last week, the house builder, he was an architect, and every time he went back, he changed the plans. But you were just smiling, going, yes, this is interesting. I've never had an architect before. He's changing the plans every time I come back. I felt you clearly had a lot of rage inside you about it, but you were just nice and smiley and encouraging.
There's no time for rage when someone's trying to build a house there on their own for the first time. You know, whatever background they're coming from, even builders who have been doing it for years, that it's a huge task. It's a massive thing to take on, and it takes all the patience and all the care. And I think that's a big part of this whole story with homes, is that we need to allow each other room to make mistakes and to change our minds, because that's the process. If someone hasn't done this before, it does take a lot of time to try something out. Maybe it doesn't work. Maybe we'll have to change the plan a little bit. And that's the game when you're building your own home.
Yeah. Are we a little bit obsessive in Ireland with having, like, you know, the perfect home, the perfect glass box extension? Everything needs to be finished to perfection for when everyone else comes in to inspect it.
Indeed. Yeah. I wouldn't even say that's an Irish thing. I'd say that's a worldwide thing. That's what Instagram's given us, is this portrayal of perfect or perfection in every aspect of our lives, but especially with homes and the way we're meant to live and how beautiful furniture and homes can be. And it can sometimes be a little disheartening or a little less than inspiring, because it feels like we'll never be able to produce something as perfect as that. But the reality is, for most of us, that we need our spaces and we need the things within our spaces to be functional first. And then we'll get to perfection later, once we've done our 10,000 hours of practice and repetition and all our mistake making.
Yeah. So listen, in terms then of the building, I presume since the pandemic, is your building school, has it been inundated with people who are like moving out the country, renovating old ruins, that kind of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that's about half of the people who are coming out to us. Half of the people who are coming to Common Knowledge are people who are about to or have just bought themselves a property that is not in as good condition as they were hoping to get, but it's what they could afford in the current market. And so about half of our participants are people who are looking to very quickly upskill, understand the building that they've bought, and understand what they can do to make it better and turn it into a home. The other half of the people are the people who, in a way, have come to understand that these skills, these building skills and this knowledge and all of these things around the home, is actually something we should know about. It's something we should have more access to and be able to share. And they're coming to learn, not out of desperation of needing a home, but because they see that it's actually really useful knowledge to have. And so what we end up having is we have people from 18 years old up to 80 years old coming on the same courses, learning the same content side by side. And it's a very unifying thing, putting in a bunch of people from all walks of life. We have architects, engineers, we have students just out of college. We have professionals from all different fields, and then people coming to just learn how to build their own home as well. And we're all learning the same thing, and we're all connecting over this desire to understand our homes better, be able to make changes within our homes, and have a bit of agency over what's going on inside that space.
Yeah, and I see you say 55% of your students are female.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think that's really down to what we've created at Common Knowledge is a space where you are allowed to make mistakes, you are allowed to ask questions, and you're not expected to know the answer. And so what we're really getting are a lot of the people who have been told their whole life that they're not meant to be builders, or they're not meant to do this job or take on this task. And so in our case at the moment, a lot of those people are females who have been told their whole life that they're not meant to be the ones holding tools, and you better leave that for the men, which we know hasn't been working that well so far and isn't the way forward for us. We also get people from every other part of life and every other demographic as well.
But
we
you know what, Harrison?
We get men who are coming who believe they should know these things.
Exactly.
Because they're men, and that's what men are meant to know. But the reality is that that assumption or that expectation can kind of be can be damaging in both directions. You know, there shouldn't be any assumption that anyone has this prior knowledge or that it's instinctual. You know, builders are trained. They're not born that way. And we all just need to start talking about these things and sharing this knowledge and sharing this information so that we can all have a valid opinion in what's going on.
You see, that you're so right, because like I felt completely inadequate watching the show, and I would feel too inadequate to come to building school, because men are expected to be handy. And then if you're not, you can't really start asking, like, and then you start avoiding even dealing with the builders and the tradesmen or anything because you're embarrassed.
Yeah.
Is it generational too? Like, our fathers and our grandfathers seem to have learned this stuff somewhere, but then it kind of withered along the way somewhere, did it?
Yeah, you know, I think the knowledge is, there's a generational gap in the knowledge. It was much more common to be well-versed in how to fix things around the house, how to repair things, how to create things or build things, because we did them. We did them at home. Our parents did them. Our grandparents did them. It was all very common. And so it was less likely that people would come along who had no idea how to do these different tasks around the house. And whether it's building or cooking or mending clothes or making furniture, whatever it is, just these practical skills that are, in all reality, the problems that we're dealing with every day when something breaks and we need to fix it. And the current solution for those things is to buy another one, throw it out, replace it, get someone in to fix it. And all of those things is really just looking at money as the solution. That money is the only thing we need to keep everything going in our life. And that's a real generational thing. That's really our parents' generation and our generation that has looked at money as the answer to all of our daily problems. When really what we're trying to talk about at Common Knowledge and what we're trying to bring back is the value of knowledge and how much further knowledge can take us than simply using money to solve all of our problems. And
you're such a hippie, Harrison, aren't you?
Intrinsic value to sharing knowledge, being open to asking questions, being open to making mistakes and being able to correct them without feeling ridiculous about it.
And you've started classes
and that's how
in
we
Dublin.
Start supporting each other as a community. You know, different members of our community are knowledgeable in different things. And if we can start supporting each other and helping each other, and instead of telling people they can't do it, try to create doors and open doors for them to learn how to do it and be better at looking after that part of their life, then it's going to lead to a much more useful, solution-oriented population.
And you've started classes in Dublin too, and I think they're kind of more in that area for the less ambitious builder, aren't they? More kind of almost DIY-ish.
Yeah, you know, I think what we realised is that naturally by our own location, by being out in the countryside, and because of the pandemic, like you said, so many people migrating out to the countryside. A lot of the people who were coming to us were people looking to renovate old cottages. So we launched our first Make School in Dublin this year, which was really aimed at people from every other walk of life, people who are renting, who want to take more agency and control over even their rental home and understand what changes they can make to make that house feel like a home. How can they build furniture that actually suits their life? How can they turn their desk into a home office that helps them be productive and helps them feel good about the work that they're doing? And other things that they can do around the home to make it warmer and to make it just feel more like a space that they really want to enjoy. And I think, you know, a big part of this story is trying to get away from the fact that houses are just this utility, that they're just this thing that we need to survive, and that they're nothing more than a survival mechanism. Because I think homes can be so much more than that. They can inspire us. They can create this space of safety that can lead us to make new decisions and new movements into new areas of our lives. They're a place where we can be creative, and we're trying to make homes into those spaces again, spaces where things are born from and that really reflect our life and the things that we care about.
There's a text here. Can you ask Harrison about the concrete worktop? I saw it on the show. I thought it'd be a great thing to do, but apparently working with concrete is harder than it looks. And I can say I've worked with concrete, and it is quite an art, isn't it?
Well, I think, yes, it's an art, absolutely. But I think concrete is one of the most intimidating products to work with because it's not very forgiving. Once it's set and you can't go backwards. But I mean, you saw on the show with Grace and Robbie and Crumlin that within an hour, I had taught them what they needed to know to create the formwork and pour the concrete countertop. They did the work. I helped them, stepped them through it. And they love their concrete countertops. If you look at any of the Brave in the Build Instagram, you'll see them obsessing over these countertops that they made. It was the first time they'd ever worked with it. Grace has now gone on to make smaller concrete countertops for her bathroom and different parts of her house as well. So it is an art form.
So she's gone crazy on concrete now.
It's an art form that you can start picking up and learning bits of. You can try your first few small samples out. And once you feel like you've got a result that you're happy with, then you can make them bigger and make them more practical.
I presume there are some things people just cannot or should not tackle, like when we get into electrics and stuff like that.
Absolutely, yeah. There's parts of our homes that do require huge amounts of training. And on a practical note, do require sign-off for them to be legal, for our houses to be insured and for everything to be by the book. And so things like electrical, gas, plumbing, all of these things that require a registered person to install them, then we generally stay away from them. But that's not to say we shouldn't be upskilling in the knowledge and the understanding of these systems. You want to be able to have educated discussions with your plumbers and electricians and gas installers so that you can decide together what the right system is for you. Because we're all different and all of our lifestyles are different and all of our homes are different and our requirements from them are different. And so it's really important to understand that there is a huge amount of options out there to choose from. And we have to find the right system that works for us and our budget and our lifestyle.
Okay, but a little bit of agency, I think, is what you're talking about. So, Kamir, could you give me, I know this is kind of on the hoof now, but what kind of accessible things could people be doing in their house? Or what are easy things that people could maybe feel their way into with?
You know, I think one of the first pieces to look at is what's not working in your current house. What things in your current setup are daily annoyances for you, daily things that you wish were different or wish could be changed, and start there. Because there's nothing that motivates us more than a regular annoyance that's getting in our way, or a piece of furniture that just doesn't work right, or a drawer that doesn't slide. Or maybe there's this piece of furniture that would make our life so much easier, that has storage in all the right places and all the right sizes to fit the things that are suited for our life. And that's where you start. You start with something that you really need so that you are highly motivated to get it right and to make it exactly perfect for you. And that's the beauty of learning these things, is that you no longer have to fit your life into a generic box that is to suit the average person. You get to make things that are exactly suited to you and your needs. And that's what's going to make you love them, because instead of that daily annoyance, it's going to bring you a huge amount of satisfaction. And so furniture is a great place to start. Hanging shelves on the walls, hanging paintings on the walls, being able to drill a hole in a wall without poking right through the other side, or without your paintings falling off the wall and smashing on the ground, is a great place to start asking questions, doing a bit of research, and taking a chance at trying to do something yourself.
Listen, Harrison, you probably have a good sense of the mood out there regarding housing between the students who are coming to you and then the doing the TV show and everything. What are people saying to you about the housing situation?
Yeah, I guess the people that are coming to us at Common Knowledge are coming from a point of a little bit of fear and a little bit of frustration. Some frustration that the housing situation doesn't have to be this way. It's become this way because of all the decisions that have been made that we've all gone along with for the past few years, decade or 15 years or so. And that there is another possibility out there. There is another way of creating homes, of treating homes and treating space and treating the energy that we use within homes to give us more options, to give us some more agency over what we're doing with those spaces, how we're treating them, how we're heating them, how we're staying warm in them. And I think the frustration leads to the fear, and then the lack of options or alternative is what makes it all a bit baffling, because no one knows where to go next. No one knows what the next step to take is. And so in a situation like that, I feel like our best option is to upskill, is to start taking things into our own hands a little bit, to start making sure that we know how to provide for ourselves and create the things that we need, so that we're not relying on someone else to do that for us. And there's nothing more powerful than taking a problem that you used to rely on someone else to solve for you and learning to solve it yourself.
Okay, take back control. And look, we should say, I'm certainly going to say that as a Gen Xer homeowner, I'm not remotely suggesting to anyone out there who can't get a house that it should be good enough for you to build your own. But tell me about your Tiggeens.
Yeah, so this year with Common Knowledge, we taught over 400 people how to build their own homes. And we did that via building our Tiggeen tiny homes, which are mobile homes on trailers that are movable, that can be parked anywhere. They're built to the same standards as a timber frame home in a permanent setting on permanent foundations, except that they're mobile. I'm actually standing in one right now having this conversation because it's the quietest place on my property.
And how big are they?
But say that again, Brendan.
How big is it?
It is 6.5 meters long by 2.5 meters wide, but it's really about volume with the Tiggeen tiny homes, because there's no point in the home where the ceiling is any closer than a meter from your head. The places feel big, they feel spacious, they have a loft inside for sleeping in. And look, they're not for absolutely everyone. And the point of bringing the Tiggeens out this year to bring them to the Irish market, we are selling the 4 Tiggeens that we built, but it was really to show that there is another way of housing. There is another way of creating spaces that can provide shelter and provide security, because that's what we're really looking for in the end. And these tiny homes are very popular in other countries in the world, and they're very new. They're a very new idea here in Ireland. And so it's been a big learning process. There's been a lot of people inquiring and wondering if this is the right thing for them, wondering if they're ready to take the plunge. But it's we've still got 2 of them for sale, and they're in the shell only phase, which means that they're ready to be adapted and created to whatever the next people want. But that was this year's project. And next year, we're moving our centre to a new site. We're purchasing 50 acres of land up in the Burren, which was previously operating as a retreat centre. And we're turning it into our sustainable centre, our education space, where we'll be able to teach all of our courses. We'll be able to teach people how to build their own homes, how to build their own off-grid solar systems, how to deal with waste in a better way, and all the other things we need to do to start living truly sustainable lives.
Wow. How much would it cost someone to build a Tigheen, and how much are you selling them for?
Yeah, so part of the Tigheen Tiny Home project was to create a toolkit so anyone could build their own. So we managed to build our Tigheens for, it was $36,000. Including all materials, including the trailer, the doors and windows and everything. And that's ready to roll out the driveway. We're selling them for about $42,000 to $44,000, depending on the finishes that we put in. Some of them have gorgeous hemp cladding on the outside. Some of them have timber cladding on the outside. They all have the same natural cork insulation and marine ply finishes on the inside. So there's some variation depending on the finishes, but more or less that's what we're selling them for.
Okay, and that would be, the Tigheen would be, like, obviously it's not going to be suitable for everyone at every stage of their lives, and we know that, but that is a livable, like, cosy space that will protect you from the elements and where you could live in it for a while without losing your marbles, yeah?
Oh yeah, absolutely. They're very comfortable spaces. They're designed to feel luxurious and comfortable because we wanted to show that a small space doesn't have to feel pokey, that it can still feel generous. But, you know, I think you kind of bring up something there that it isn't for everyone at every part of their life. And I think that's exactly right. And that's part of this conversation about why we need to start building our own homes and learning the skills that we need to adapt our own homes, because we change. We're constantly changing. We're constantly evolving. Our needs as individuals change from year to year and decade to decade. And there's no way that we could build a house of any size today that is exactly what we're going to need in 10 years or 15 years. And we're always going to be making those changes. And so one of the ways that I personally have managed to stay out of debt is by only adding on the rooms to our little cottage out in the countryside here as the children arrive. So I've just finished one more extension myself with our baby due today, so that we're finally ready to move in. And by building step by step, instead of building our four-bedroom house 7 years ago when I first bought the property, we managed to add on a room every few years and save for that room and use our savings rather than borrowing and paying interest as we went.
Okay, listen, I better let you go in case that baby is on its way looking for its new room. So listen, give Aaron our best wishes.
Thanks so much, Brendan. I appreciate it.
Okay, Harrison, it's always an education, and lots of texters saying that was all really interesting. And then one person saying, absolutely love Harrison's show. He's just so zen. Best wishes to him on the impending arrival. And I think that's possibly from a woman. I think a lot of the texts about Harrison are possibly from women today. But there you go. Harrison Gardner, thank you very much.
Email brendan@rte.ie.